Hour number two of the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Got a fun hour number two planned. Of course, we'll wrap things up with Where Are They Now, and we'll talk a little bit of Titans throughout the hour. But I wanted to get to this because Adam kind of inspired me on this. Who is your random GOAT? Just a random player that you love for no particular reason. We were kind of talking about this yesterday, and he was saying Brad Miller was his guy, like the former basketball player.
Yeah,
played at Purdue. He was saying Brad Miller was just randomly one of his players. So it got me thinking on the way home, who is mine? And for me, it's always been Jordy Nelson for the Packers, white hero. I've been a Titans fan my entire life except for my, like, two-year phase of the Packers for some reason. And it's because of Jordy Nelson. He was a hero to me. I don't know why. I thought he was he was a good receiver. But I think it was just because I liked the allure of him. I liked the connection between him and Aaron Rodgers. And he was pretty quiet, too. He didn't jar at anyone. He just kind of kept his mouth shut and went out and dominated. So Jordy Nelson is for sure mine. Who is yours?
So, two of them. One, if I'm talking about sports in the U.S., I'm going with Kyle Schwarber. I love Kyle Schwarber's swing. I think it's just so smooth for it being a left-handed bat. And I respect the guy for, you know, doing his little hand gesture, which is this. And if you're watching the stream, so people that don't know what this is, it means I love you in sign language.
Yep.
So I don't have anybody in my family that's deaf or anything. I just respect those hand gestures. Obviously, being, you know, Italian, use your hands to talk, whatever, just playing charades. But I respect that. I really
do. Our president does that too.
Yeah. I do respect a guy like Kyle Schwarber just with his, you know, way he carries himself, his message off the field, and the way he plays baseball. You know, and that's another player that's underappreciated. When you look at the NL MVP race, everybody always talks about Shohei Ohtani. The last two seasons at home runs, who's been the person right behind Shohei Ohtani? Kyle Schwarber.
Schwarbs.
If you go and look at his numbers the last couple seasons, they've gone overlooked because of the Shohei Ohtani effect. I really do think if Ohtani was not involved at all in baseball, we're talking about Kyle Schwarber being one of the best baseball players in the National League.
Kyle should have been a Cincinnati Red Schwarber.
Yeah, I hated that answer just because of that. I'm not going to lie.
But I know.
I was like, yeah, this is great. So what I'm hearing is it doesn't have to be like a deep pool. It can just be somebody that doesn't play for a team you cheer for. It
can be whatever.
So mine would probably be Baker, I think.
Really?
Because I don't know. Like, you would think I would have hated him from his first big moment in the limelight, which was the overtime win against Tennessee and Neyland. But honestly, I've kind of respected him ever since then. And obviously, he's had a very up and down life and career, both on and off the field. But especially now, the way he's been able to turn his career around, I always kind of find myself rooting for him. I don't know what it is, but I always kind of find myself rooting for the Bucks.
You want a deep pull? I'll give you one. I used to love Tyreek Evans back in the day. His 1 year with Memphis, where he averaged 20 for some reason. It was the year everyone was hurt. Like, Gasol went down, Conley went down. So it was Tyreek Evans versus the world. And I don't know, I guess the young child in me loved seeing a guy, you know, kind of just take a team like that. And they sucked that year, but he was pretty decent with them. So that's my pull. Do you remember Peter Borges on the Cardinals?
Yes.
I liked him for
what
some reason.
What a pull.
Yeah. Me and my dad used to call him Gorgeous Borges because he had such a gorgeous deep ball. And he didn't do it too much.
Yeah. When it happened, it happened. And it was just gorgeous.
It was gorgeous, Borges, and who was the other one? It wasn't Tommy Pham, which Tommy Pham has played for everyone.
Harrison Bader?
I did love Bader.
Tyler O'Neill?
I did love O'Neill. Loved Edmund.
Thomas DeJacy?
No, I hate Thomas DeJacy. I don't hate Thomas DeJacy. I just feel bad for him.
Rick Enkiel?
Oh, that's a poll, though. Yeah. That's a good one. It'll come to me.
Is it Edwin Encarnacion?
No.
Chris Duncan?
That's a poll.
Yeah.
It'll come. John Jay was one.
John Jay still on staff?
Because I love John Jay's walk-up song. It was song two, I remember, because you would hear, woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah.
And he'd take the plate. Coming up to bat, the outfielder. Or what do you play, left field?
Yeah.
The left fielder, John Jay. And it was so cool as a kid. Man, I'm trying to remember.
Was he in the outfield?
I don't remember. He was on that team with Borges. And, you know, Matt Carpenter, of course.
Yep.
Yachty, Ueno. Colton Wong was second baseman. I can't remember who played first.
That was, 2014, 2015, right?
Yeah, around that area. We'll figure this out.
Let's see. I'm looking right now.
We're going to figure this out. I don't know why the name Peter Borges just came to me.
Let's see. Outfielders. Oh, Oscar Tavares?
No.
No. He's passed away, though.
Yeah, rest in peace to him.
Stephen Piscotty.
Yes.
There you go.
It was Piscotty.
I've actually heard of him, too, so that's nice.
Why, I knew we'd find it.
Why I remember Stephen Piscotty, again, you're right, one of the more underrated players, but then ended up having a stint with Oakland, I think a stint with, correct me if I'm wrong, the Giants for a little bit of a brief time.
Yeah. I think you're right, yeah.
And then he went to play overseas in the KBO for like a season or two. But his mom was dealing with real bad breast cancer, I believe. Yeah. I don't know if she is still with us or not. But
it was Stephen Piscotty, because they were right next to each other in the lineup, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were in that 7-8 hole.
You're right.
If I'm not mistaken. Or around that area. I mean,
sorry to interrupt. Man, just a big crash in the Tour de France.
Oh. Where? I want to see.
Hey, where's the – can you go back? Where is this?
I don't know if that TV was going to let you rewind, but –
Let's try. Anyways. Sorry, I got sidetracked. I'm squirrel.
A player of a rival team that I always loved, and I'll get hate from Cardinals if I say
that. There you go. Right here on the turn.
Oh, let's see this.
Boom! He's lucky there was a fence there. He could have gone over the over the cliff.
That's probably why it's there.
We got a pile up.
That would be some liability issues.
Yeah.
Well, I would be the first to tell you. They make you sign waivers for stuff like this. Which, by the way, apparently we're going back to T-Line here shortly, and I don't know if they'll let me back.
PTSD.
You'll be okay. Just
it's like my personal Vietnam.
Do we put a helmet on you this time?
Make him do the whole show with a helmet on.
That'd be pretty funny.
I can't wear headphones, though.
I can do it like...
sideways thing for the bike helmet, yeah.
Deion Sanders did this with his little cowboy
hat. Just give him a helmet radio. If he's got a football helmet on,
can I just
put the helmet radio in his helmet.
Yeah, can I wear a Speed Flex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
He just has the giant antenna coming out from it, too, if you want to do like wireless.
At least give me the visor.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go all in. I'm going to wear the visor. I'm going to wear a mouthpiece. I'm gonna have two mouthpieces. They're gonna be hanging from my face mask, because I like to play college dress up 27.
Yeah, I'll send you guys a picture of my high school helmet. I had a visor.
Were you a Speed Flex guy?
No, we were a Shut.
Shut bucket.
Yeah, we were, but it was the new like version of Shut. It had that little air, not Air Max, but it was like the Shut. It had like a rise in the middle part. It was really weird.
Yeah,
I had the air vents and stuff. Yeah.
To be fair, like I don't know if I have a big head or whatever it was, but when I tried to put the helmet on, I kept telling our equipment staff, "I'm like, this is fitting very tight on my head. Like, I got a headache every day I played football."
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be admitting this on the air, but it is what it is. I don't know if it's statute of limitations. It's been 7 years.
Nick Frazier admits he has CTE live on our airwaves.
No, definitely not that. But the helmet, it never fit right. And I kept saying, this doesn't fit right. And it was one of those custom helmets, so you had to buy it. So that's the issue. So, like, I couldn't exchange the helmet size.
Yeah.
Needed another helmet.
Were you a gloves guy?
Let's see.
Because if you weren't, that's absolutely badass.
No.
Fullback.
My freshman year, no. I wrapped my wrist with athletic tape.
Aura.
Holy aura.
My sophomore year, I did not wear gloves either. I did the wrist, but I did the finger tape as well. On my middle finger, my pinky finger, and my thumb.
Eric Berry. Pain Train Frazier.
Yeah.
Eric Berry, that reminds me of the finger tape.
Then my junior year and senior year, I wore white gloves.
The Pain Train.
Yeah. Well, it was a pact with my class that I graduated with. We all started wearing gloves, and we were like, it'd be sweet, because we had all white helmets. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we did.
Or did you have purple face masks?
Yeah, we did. So my senior year, we had white helmets, purple face mask, and it was... Yeah, we did. Okay, my bad. My brain was going.
Did you backplate it?
No backplate.
Oh,
although my
that would have been so cool.
My junior year, I did get hurt against Cane Ridge, and I had to go in the ambulance. I like bruised my rib cage really bad, and I remember I chucked my helmet like 50 yards. I couldn't breathe. Apparently my face was turning purple, and the athletic director came on the field and like punched like my back or something, and allowed me to start breathing. It was really weird. I was freaking out. But yeah, ambulance came and yeah.
Stinger?
I bruised my ribs really bad. There was a 300-pound lineman fell on me sideways, and I just couldn't breathe. I really couldn't breathe.
Jeez.
So, but yeah, it's been fun. I would never trade those days for anything. I miss playing football, regardless of the injuries. I miss playing so much.
I can just imagine a handoff to Nick Frazier just so he can hit someone.
Now, my sophomore year, obviously it was JV, but we were just collecting touchdowns and 2-point conversions consistently. And we played that little wing tee. We always ran Hawaii Warrior right and left, dive up the middle. Fantastic.
East-West playmaker, Nick Frazier.
Hey.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Tennessee Titans training camp gets going next week. Very excited for that. So I want to ask the panel, in the words of a caller we don't like, the Titans are going to need to start off hot. Specifically, Cam Ward. What does he need to do to have a good start to the training camp? We'll discuss that coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle at 102.5 The Game. Another reason why Jordan is better than LeBron. Jordan's Space Jam was infinitely better than LeBron's. LeBron sucked. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you in studio. So the Titans are starting training camp. We finally made it. The long months of list season and, as Jake Lyman calls it, Mount Rushmore season are coming to an end. At least we hope so. With that being said, I think the thing everyone is looking forward to with this camp getting underway is Cam Ward. And the narrative behind Cam Ward in June was he couldn't string together good days. He couldn't be consistent. How consistent does Cam Ward need to be to get off to a hot start in this camp and maybe flip that narrative around just a little bit?
You know, it's going to be a positive thing to see him throw the rock a little bit, but I don't think he has to be like over the moon fantastic. Just, you know, obviously it's going to be training camp, so you already know the playbook for the most part. I'm cool with the run game. I'm cool with just relying on the run game. Sure, they've invested a lot in the passing game, getting more assets, one being Carnell Tate. There has to be a little bit of a prove-it ground for him, which is training camp. So I'm sure he was already there this past week because rookies reported a little bit earlier. But, no, for Cam Ward's sake, yeah, there's got to be a little bit of a improvement, but I wouldn't say it has to be major.
I think it's important to see improvement. I think it's important to see consistency. And not that I think he was bad during those OTAs. I was out there. He was fine. He wasn't awful. He wasn't good. But he wasn't, you know, the worst quarterback you've ever seen, like some other people will tell you he was. I think that, you know, consistency is important, especially once we get into the point where we're having joint practices and you're seeing other teams best on best.
Right.
But like you said, the best way we're going to measure how good Cam Ward is this season is in-game. Is in the actual regular season. Now, if we get to the regular season and he's inconsistent and accuracy issues and stuff like that, then we can start to talk about it a little bit more. But as of right now, I mean, I think it's important to get off to a decent start. I think it's important for momentum's sake of the offense. I think it's important for just overall morale inside that locker room. I think he needs to get off to a decent start. But if he goes out there and it's kind of more of the same from June, especially during this first week, I'm not going to sweat too much just because we haven't seen them on the practice field together in so long. I know they've been working out in, was it Miami? They were out together on the beach and stuff like that. But, you know, it's important. I want to see how this works. But I don't think that it's the utmost importance that, oh my God, if Cam Ward has one bad day, he is automatically a bust. It's just not how it works.
I think the true thing to evaluate Cam Ward during the first week of training camp is obviously one being the footwork and two the release. I think if you're Cam Ward, knowing the situation of the offensive line with Dan Moore Jr. along with J.C. Latham and the injury that has recently come up this past week, I would say Cam Ward has to release the ball quicker. And I'm not trying to say force your reads, kind of get it out of your hands immediately, but I think if you're in training camp, it's better to exaggerate the quickness of the release of the throw than it is to hold on to it for 4 to 5, you know, seconds and just see if they can, you know, develop the play.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared in Spring Hill is on our phone line waiting for us. Jared, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So I was just kind of watching, catching up on the quarterback documentary series on Netflix, and there towards the end, Cam Ward was asked about a season, and he said he feels like it went all right. 3-14, says it feels like it went all right. Doesn't really sit well with me, but in his head, do you think he – in his head, do you think he analyzes the season last year thinking that he got humbled, or do you think that he really genuinely think he did okay? And I'll kind of hang up and listen to have my opinion on it, but what do y'all think about it? Tighten up.
Hell yeah, tighten up. Thanks for the call, Jared. I think that's an interesting question. I don't think it's Cam Ward coping at all. I don't think it's him stooping down to the level of complacency, because if you watch that show and you know the inner workings of Cam Ward, he gets pissed very easily when things aren't executed to perfection. I think on a personal level, he thinks he did okay, but I think deep down he knows that he can be better. I understand why that comment doesn't sit well with you, because if it meant what I think you think it meant, then it wouldn't sit right with me either. But I think he thinks, yeah, I did okay, but I want to be great. Actually, I know that. I know that he wants to be great. So I think this season he's going to go in with an attack mentality and think that I was all right last year, maybe average. And if you want to look at the analytics, which to me aren't the end-all be-all of football, but if you want to look at the analytics, he was one of the worst quarterbacks starting in the league. I don't think the eye test tells you a little bit more than the analytics test does. But I think, you know, if he thinks that he is okay, then that's fine. As long as he goes into this year thinking, I have to be a lot better. Does that make sense?
It does. And to the caller's point, and Jared, I really do think it's more of him genuinely reacting to the season. I don't think it's more of, you know, reading too much into it, because I mean, we all know the storyline now, because it's been out for a long time. The fact that when Brian Callahan was, you know, canned, and then they brought in Mike McCoy as the interim, as a rookie quarterback, you don't have any direction anymore. So it's basically him learning on his own. And I'm not saying Mike McCoy didn't help him with the development, or Beau Hardigree didn't help with the development, but there were too many cooks in the kitchen. He was really trying to get a true evaluation about himself. So his answer at the end of that documentary, I thought was well said, and it was, I mean, he played the fence perfectly. Like, he is not going to be too hot or too cold. He just played it just right, and it was an honest opinion. So I think there are a lot of factors to go into that answer, but I thought it was the right one.
Agreed. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, we've talked about Cam Ward and what to expect and what we hope to expect from him in camp coming up next week. Outside of Cam Ward, who has your eye the most? What storyline has your eye the most? We'll discuss that coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Oh, you know how much I love Purple Rain. Much to the chagrin of Dustin and Hawkinsville, we love Purple Rain. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on this Saturday. Again, Titans training camp getting underway. This Wednesday is the first practice. I'll be out there, so keep it locked to me on Twitter for some updates. I will be providing those as we see fit. Hopefully we can go viral again. That was great. That Carnell Tate catch, if you see it on the interwebs of him making a one-handed grab, chances are yours truly probably shut that video. But it's not about me. It's about the Titans.
I have a question for you about the Titans.
I have an answer for you
so
about the Titans.
So yesterday, the Titans signed Nazee Johnson, which is a safety.
Nazee Johnson?
Nazee. Yeah. Vocabulary, not the greatest for me. We understand. Anyways, safety, played for the Chiefs. obviously, you know, you have a guy like Mike Borgonzi who is familiar with Chiefs draft picks. But I just your thoughts initially on that. I know it's not on the grid, but I just
no, it's fine. It's interesting. I actually brought this up with TD yesterday. He's a guy that I don't know. I don't think he's going to provide much of a role on the defense. He's got like 66 tackles over 4 years with the Chiefs. Two-time Super Bowl champion, though. I don't know. I think he's more of a special teams contributor, which everything I've looked at and everything I've done research on as of yesterday shows that he was a standout performer in special teams for the Chiefs. So I could totally see him in that gunner role, that kind of role where you just take off and make the block.
Very familiar.
That's fine. Yeah, that's your role. Did you play gunner?
Yeah, I played gunner. I was also an up back in the kickoff team and then played a little bit of linebacker and fullback.
Yeah, that's what I would expect him to do. Look, it's not something that, oh my God, he's going to come in and just be a lockdown safety for you. Mm-hmm. Because I think the safety room for the Titans is kind of already set. You've got Amani Hooker, and then you've got Kevin Winston, and then maybe you've got someone else under them. I don't even think he's ready to play corner either. Maybe he's a depth piece there. But if they're going to use him, I think they're going to use him in special teams. And that's fine. That's special teams are important too. It's the third side of the ball, as they call it. So
yeah, and I mean, in his rookie season, he had 286 snaps for special teams. I mean, as a seventh round rookie, you're just trying to make a name for yourself.
Yeah,
and I think for a guy like Johnson, if he's able to rekindle that from his rookie season with the Titans, this is only going to be even better for them. And again, let's not forget Bones Fossil is a special teams coordinator here in Tennessee. So there's going to be some opportunities for a guy like Johnson to really take off and flourish.
Yeah. No, I think special teams fits him just fine. And look, I trust Bones Fossil to be able to use guys on special teams the way that they're supposed to be used. And who am I not to? I mean, he was one of the bright spots for the Titans last year, few and far between, but he got it done. So Nazi Johnson, I don't think is going to be this massive signing that just lifts the Titans into the playoffs. But, if you feel like it's a good special teams contributor, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah, I'm just curious and see if he'll possibly be in the rotation for safety just for the time being because Amani Hooker is
he's on the pup list.
So I just found that kind of interesting of a signing yesterday because that's a dual threat type player.
Yeah.
Playing a little bit of defensive ball and then along with special teams.
Well, that takes us into what I kind of wanted to talk about with you is the pup list. The pup list was announced, I believe, 2 days ago. You've got Amani Hooker and J.C. Latham, both on that list. What do you make of that?
I said this with Adam on Thursday. I am very concerned about J.C. Latham. Like,
really?
Very concerned. Because, I mean, you go and look at just the history of Alabama offensive linemen with the Titans, it has not turned out well. Along with that, Latham, his rookie season, definitely was trying to understand how to get into the NFL, like how to adjust. Started on the left, didn't work out. They move him back in year two to his natural position as a right tackle, and it was with Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan wasn't really able to fix him. Latham goes down with that hip injury, kind of a nagging injury in some sense, changes his diet, and now you go into year three, and I remember the article that Jim Wyatt posted, and it was 40 days ago before training camp began, and it was a quote, I believe, from Robert Saleh saying these 40 days are like crucial for Titans players to really get caught up to speed, and I remember in my head at the time thinking about Femi Oladejo because that was another nagging injury that player had a nagging injury throughout spring, and now you have J.C. Latham, and then Paul Karski has mentioned earlier this week that it was an injury from the spring. Should be able to go, but at the same time, those little injuries that happened in the spring and that he's had an injury history with the hip, that's why I'm very concerned because those will probably linger into the season.
See, I'm not overly concerned.
Really?
I think the fact that they mentioned he's on the pup list and can be removed at any time is reassuring to me. That said, once he gets off the pup list, he's got to be ready to go, and he's got to be showing some vast improvements from what he did last year, and that starts with penalties and self-control. Keep those feet still, like they told Michael Jackson in the movie when he was a kid. Keep those feet still, boy. I need to see that from J.C. Latham. So I'm not overly concerned, but if time goes on and he's still there and we get close to the start of the season, then I will be majorly concerned.
I just, like we were talking about earlier with Cam Ward and saying to exaggerate getting the ball out of his hands fast, that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
It's because if J.C. Latham is available to play, we don't know the health of that, if he's 80%, 90%, whatever it may be. There's a good chance that maybe that pad level, when J.C. Latham gets beat off the ball, he's going to be real high. And so what's that going to say for Cam Ward? Not going to have a passing lane on the right side of the ball. So you're going to have to get the ball out quick before something like that happens. And again, all that's kind of very bang-bang type style play. But I just, you look at players like Jackson Slater that they've drafted, Fernando Carmona, and even, you know, to the sense of, you could say maybe Pat Coogan. Those two were drafted this past draft, but Jackson Slater, I think, is someone that is slowly developing as a true guard. And yes, two of the three, or actually all three of them, are interior offensive linemen. None of them are tackles. But yet, the fact that they're developing, from what we've read and heard in the market, they're developing well. It just concerns me about a guy like J.C. Latham.
Offensive line in general is interesting to me because I think there's two battles going on.
Sure.
One more prevalent than the other. Center is interesting because I think it's going to be Schlotman, but we could also see Coogan or Carmona maybe compete for that starting spot. I would start Schlotman, and I'd let I would put Coogan over Carmona.
Yeah.
I would
Carmona is more the left guard. Yeah.
I would let Coogan develop a little bit this year, sure, and just start Schlotman. Right guard is where I'm interested because it could either be Slater, Volson, or Andre James, who they signed earlier in the offseason. Volson missed all of last year with injury. Slater is obviously a six-round rookie you drafted last year that's never played in an NFL starting lineup. And then Andre James, I believe, has had some starts.
Don't forget about Zach Thomas they signed recently.
And too. Zach Thomas, too. Yeah. So right guard's interesting. I think every other spot on the offensive line is pretty fleshed out. Left tackle, you're going to run more. Left guard is obviously Skoronski. Right tackle, whenever he gets back, is J.C. Latham. But the other two, you're probably going to put Schlotman at center. Right guard, I'm pretty interested. So we'll see about that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Real quick, how do you feel about Carnell Tate going into training camp?
Optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm not optimistically concerned. I'm optimistic. As long as the offensive line can do their job and as long as Cam Moore can get the ball out quick, should be fine.
I am interested to watch the iron sharpens iron matchup between mm-hmm. Carnell Tate and Alante Taylor. Because I heard Alante Taylor on some podcast the other day say, this dude's nice. Like, he's got some stuff that years of experience wide receivers don't. So I'm optimistic. Not ready to crown him the best receiver in Titans history yet, but we'll see.
Isn't it funny how during the draft everybody was griping about Carnell Tate? Oh my gosh, that was one of the slowest 40 times. If you're getting an Ohio State wide receiver, he's got to be fast, he's got to be explosive.
Well, that was one guy.
Well, no, there were a few people out there. I mean, to be fair,
I was not one of them.
I know, I'm not saying you. Yeah, I'm saying they're in this market. There were a few people out there. The guy is a world-class player at his position. His catch radius is ridiculous.
It's one of those picks that I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of at the time, but as time has gone on, it's made more sense, and I'm a bigger fan of it now.
Absolutely.
I think it was all the initial, we wanted Jeremiah Love. After all the talk we've been having about him before the draft, we wanted Jeremiah Love. And then once the Cardinals threw a wrench into those plans, then it was, you know, let's just take the best offensive player available. And they felt that was Carnell Tate, and, you know, I feel good about it moving forward.
Well said.
Well said. Look at that.
It was definitely, I would agree. It was.
Well, you and I were together.
Yes, we were here doing the, we were producing the draft. Well, you were more producing. I was running the stream of the draft show more than anything and doing highlights for it. But anyway, nobody cares. yeah, it was more of the Jeremiah Love disappointment for sure, in my opinion, just because we'd all spent how many months talking about Jeremiah Love because we all just assumed it was going to be Jeremiah Love, and the corner was like, oh, we're going to pick a running back at three. Good
Even
luck.
Though we got a clogged room.
Yeah, figure it out, Titans.
Yeah.
Carnell Tate will be fine.
I think it's honestly worked out better for the Titans to draft Carnell Tate.
I
kind of
do too.
Jeremiah.
Yeah, I think history might show that it might end up being the right thing. We'll see.
I mean, your wide receiver one would probably be Wandale Robinson.
And then you have Calvin Ridley. Alec Ironman would be two. I think that would.
And I think Wandale works best in the slot.
Sure.
As maybe your three. You know, Tate and Ridley are probably going to be your one and two, probably interchangeably actually. You can probably plug Alec Iomanner and Chim DK on the outside if you wanted to special cases.
I see it more of like Tate 1, Wandale 2, Alec 3, Ridley 4. That's how I see it. I don't think Ridley's going to contribute too much, in my opinion. I think he's more of a game plan type wide receiver at this point in his career.
That's a perfect description of it, I think.
I agree with that, actually.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's a good poll by you. Great job. Speaking of polls, I expect some good polls from you coming up next.
Light my fire, baby.
We play the game that, as Adam Vingan says, is taking over the station and one day the nation. Where are they now? Coming up next, right here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back. We get Hero 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton, and just a cast of characters singing outstanding. I believe that's Justin Timberlake, Pharrell Williams, and Snoop Dogg.
You are correct.
With Charlie Wilson.
Fantastic.
When did this happen? And how did we miss it?
It looks to be an award show of some kind. I have no idea when, and I have no idea where.
And we have no idea why, but it exists. So there we go. We need a album produced version of this. I would love to listen to this. It would be the official theme of
eight,
my day.
Eight variations of You Light My Fire.
I mean, the going theme is we find a variation every day, which, by the way, we already talked about this, and we'll reiterate it next week. Where Are They Now comes with us. Whoever takes over this program when we're gone, it is ours. Nick Frazier and I reserve the rights to Where Are They Now. We have an even split, and Jake Lyman gets about 30% of the revenue.
It was for the national audience as well. Well, I've been seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter about people saying, like,
one of the ones I'm going to use today was posted by a national, or not even a national, just a local Predators person. So there you go. That tells you where I'm going with it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The format did change a bit, didn't it, recently?
It did.
In the last calendar year, for sure, right? Or it I don't did. Know, calendar year,
well,
but last year.
The format has changed in the last 24 hours because Adam decided,
oh, wow,
I'm going to guess as many times as I possibly can. So I'm enforcing a three-guess rule. You get three guesses.
I like that.
That's a good rule.
It keeps us moving. It keeps us going. Adam would do the thing where he was like, well, it's not Michael Jordan. Is it Michael Jordan? No, it's not Michael Jordan. And then he would just keep going like eight more times.
Because he's trying to read your face if it's right or not.
No.
I mean, no, it doesn't work like that.
We are instilling a three-guess rule from here on out. It worked well yesterday. I assume it'll work well today. Without further ado, let's play Where Are They Now. Look at that. You got your cue.
It takes a second for it to actually get going, but, you know, we got there. We got it.
It is. All right, I teased it, so might as well do it. We'll start on the ice today. New Jersey Devils, Toronto Maple Leafs, Chicago Blackhawks, Nashville Predators, Pittsburgh Penguins, Arizona Coyotes, back to the New Jersey Devils.
What were the first two teams?
New Jersey Devils, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Who played Preds at one point?
Did for 317 games.
Ooh, so here for a while. New Jersey Devils Preds player. You have anything, Christian? Anything come to mind?
Only Devil I know that was a Pred is PK Subban, and I know it's not him. So, yeah.
Maple Leafs
has over 1,000 NHL games, 290 goals in that stretch.
Wait a minute. Said Toronto?
I did.
Is it Jason Arnett?
It is not Jason Arnett.
Oh.
Good guess. I don't even know if I have a guess.
Was Minnesota Wild in there at one point?
They were not.
No. I think this is wrong, but is it Mirat Zidlicky?
It is not.
Defenseman? No.
What era Preds is this? Like, is that an okay question to ask?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm on Twitter right now, so let's see about that. Please hold, everyone.
Hey, Ben Frazier.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Hey. Good to see you.
Good to see you. All right, let's see here. Hockey reference. He played for the Predators from 2005 to 2013.
Wow, that's a long time.
Did you say the Blackhawks?
No. Yes.
Oh, you did. Oh, I know. I know who it is.
Go ahead.
Actually, this is kind of cool. As a kid, I had a mural of him on my wall. Steve Sullivan.
It is Steve Sullivan.
Yep, I know him. I never would have gotten that, though.
Well done, so, Nick Frazier.
Good job, Frazier.
Or number 26 for the Preds.
On his last guess, too.
Thank you.
It's like a full count. Take the swing. Going, gone.
Took it yard.
Well done. Who have you got today? Let's see.
All right. Going to the Gridiron. Went to school at San Diego. Was drafted in the fifth round of the 2008 draft. Played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 49ers, Sacramento Mountain Lions, Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, 49ers, Bengals, Jets, Colts, Bills, Ravens, Giants, Texans, Raiders, San Diego Fleet, Washington Redskins, Detroit Lions, Los Angeles Wildcats, San Francisco 49ers, New York Jets, Denver Broncos, 49ers, Ravens, Commanders, and currently with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Good Lord.
Wow, so this man is still in the league.
Yes.
After going in and out of the league as many times as possible, pretty much.
I don't know where to begin.
I don't either.
If it helps, played in the XFL in 2020.
Oh, gosh. What's his name, though?
I don't even know where to begin.
God, is the quarterback?
Yeah, it is. It is the quarterback.
Is it Josh something?
Oh, you're on to something.
Josh Johnson.
Yes,
it is. I remember if it was Johnson or Jackson.
We'll split that one 50-50. That was a collaborative effort.
Great effort, guys. That was awesome.
All right, Christian.
Alrighty, I am also on the gridiron. This one only has three teams, though, not 15. Titans, Eagles, Seahawks.
Titans, Eagles, Seahawks.
If you need more hints, just let me know.
Okay. Titans.
Well, I could think of two Titans it's not that Eagles, went to the Eagles.
Seahawks.
You would be correct. Connor isn't either of the two people you were thinking of.
And I can't say their names because they would count as guesses.
Titans, Eagles, Seahawks. Hint, is it defense?
Yeah.
It is offense.
Offense.
Okay.
Titans, Eagles, Seahawks. Actually, if it's offense, maybe quarterback? Because I know a Titans quarterback that went from Tennessee to Philadelphia. Didn't do much. And then I don't know if he went to Seattle or not. Is it a quarterback?
It is an offensive lineman. Sorry, I was away for a second. Somebody wanted to make sure they got their credit that they got Josh Johnson before any of us did. So,
Before
the two of us did. So.
Thanks. Love it. That could have been a text, but thanks.
I'm drawing. I was going to say, I can't say because that'd be a guess, so never mind.
I know. I'm thinking of one that played for the Titans and Seahawks, but he also played for the Jets as an offensive lineman.
All right,
so
here's my
hint.
This is it might give it away, though. Do you want to give it away, hint?
I don't care.
Sure.
It's an Alabama offensive lineman.
Chance Warmack.
There you go. Keep the theme of the Alabama offensive lineman going.
That's right. Golly. Awful offensive lineman.
We have broken a record, ladies and gentlemen. We got a text.
Oh.
Great job by us. All right, we're going to the diamond. Los Angeles Angels, St. Louis Cardinals, Philadelphia, Phillies. I just forgot the name of the team. Tampa Bay Rays, Atlanta Braves, Los Angeles Angels. Again.
Played for the Cardinals briefly. Now is currently with the Angels?
He retired in 2019.
Can we have a position?
He is a center fielder.
Center fielder.
This is also one I would advise you to pay attention throughout the program.
Oh. Is it John Jay?
It's not John Jay.
Is it Stephen Piscotty?
It's not Stephen Piscotty.
Started with the Angels, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Started with the Angels. Let me think here. Rick Ankiel.
Nope.
No.
Frazier's down to one. Christian has two.
I don't know if I'm even going to use the other two, honestly. Because the Cardinals y'all were rattling off. I can't rattle all those off. I just remembered, Stephen Piscotty is who we were looking for.
Yeah, it's not... This doesn't count. It's not Chris Duncan because I just pulled an Adam, actually. Never mind. Yeah. But I know it's not Chris Duncan, though.
It's not. I won't count it. Don't worry.
He played for Boston for a little bit. Angels. That's the one stumping me.
I'm officially giving up on this one. This is up to you.
I'm going to kick myself because once he says the name, I'm going to be so upset. Nothing comes to mind. Jorge Soler? No.
Gorgeous Borges. People, pay attention.
The other big name we were saying.
Yep.
Dang it.
Peter Borges. Making his debut on Where Are They Now. I think we got time to finish up the round.
Okay.
So, I'll make it quick. Nick Frazier, go for it.
Sticking with the diamond. Was born in West Germany. So made his major league debut for the Dodgers in 2003. And he was, played for the Dodgers, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Arizona, Chicago White Sox, St. Louis Cardinals, Nationals, Cubs, Braves, Marlins, Padres, Orioles, Nationals, Athletics, Blue Jays, and ended his career with the Detroit Tigers.
Who the hell is this guy?
An All-Star in 2009 and World Series champion in 2011 with the St. Louis Cardinals.
So half of baseball. Yeah. But he's on the 2011 World Series team, so this might be good for you.
He is a silver medalist for the United States in Olympic baseball at the Tokyo Games and pitched a no-hitter in 2010.
So that gives us a position.
Yep. Born in West Germany.
West Germany. Big summer blowout.
In 1983.
Oh, man.
September 9th.
I feel like this is another one you pulled out during our little rant earlier. Edward Encarnacion.
Ooh, you are very close with that first name.
Oh.
It is. I'll give you the hint. It is Edwin.
Okay. Edwin. Well, it's not the prevalent Edwin.
Connor's favorite band or favorite music artist, last name, you know.
I was going to say Edwin. I was like, there's not an Edwin Mars.
No, not Mars, but, you know, let's go back in time a little bit. 70s, 80s. Yeah, now you're, yeah.
Let's see, I know, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I saw your eyeballs.
Maybe.
Edwin Jackson.
It is Edwin Jackson.
There you go.
Yes, there we go. It is Edwin Jackson.
John says anything over 15 teams should get a ding.
Yeah, it should, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Let's see, how many was this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, no ding. But we do get anyway. A ding. All right, wrap us up.
My last one is only 9, so no ding for
this only 9. Great.
But Ravens, Broncos, Jets, Eagles, Jets, Browns, Colts, Browns, Bengals.
Currently Bengals?
Currently Bengals.
Browns, Bengals, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Bengals. Browns, Bengals.
You will both be very angry if you don't get this.
Positional player on the defensive side of the ball.
It is not. It's I low-key give it away if I get away in possession.
Yeah, don't do
it. If it's a kicker, kickers are banned from this game.
It's not a kicker.
Okay.
It is on the offensive side of the ball, and it is a wide receiver.
It is not a wide receiver, but it is on the offensive side of the ball.
Offensive lineman.
It's probably
again?
A quarterback.
Oh, wait. Joe Flacco.
Dang. Yeah,
Joe Flacco.
All right. Someone's been watching quarterback.
Yes.
That'll do it for us today on the Weekend Huddle. As we said to start the show, next week, the final program with myself, Nick Frazier, and Christian Skelton as we move on to greener grass. It's an honor and a privilege to do this every week. And we'll do it one more time next week, live from a remote location that our sales team won't disclose to us for some reason. For Nick Frazier, for Christian Skelton, my name is Connor Newt. We will see you next week for the final show of Weekend Huddle. We are on 102.5 The Game.
See ya!